Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And we welcome those who are listening to the live broadcast as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate you taking your time to join us this evening. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church, which is Church of Metaphysical Humanism, also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, holistic life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and several other areas. And also Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees as well. Before we get into the meat of our program, I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. The expanded version of these can be found on metaphysicalhumanism.org, our church website. There are 9 principles of belief. First one is, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. Number 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org for an expanded discussion of these 9 principles of belief. So tonight, we're going to be doing our mindful expansion. As usual, some good discussion points I'm sure will ensue. And just as a heads up, toward the end of this program tonight, I'm going to be talking about some tips on getting a job. So if that's something that you're looking for, then you might want to pay close attention, some good tips, some things, and not only from, I'm going to read some excerpts from an article, but also include some of my own personal advice and recommendations. So, Dr. Hunter has already pulled a very good card from our Inner Oracle card deck, and that's just our own card deck, which teaches and helps people to learn practical life skills. Pretty deep stuff on these cards are excellent. They're available for purchase as well for a donation of $30 on our website at Metaphysical Humanism. Dr. Hunter, you want to announce the card that you pulled?
You know, just so everybody knows, this is not set up. I really did actually pull this one. I went, oh, good card for tonight. So, Continuity of Life Existential Suit, number 16. So, here's what it says, and I think that a few people might relate to this. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There's reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You're a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin. And with that saying that all levels of life, and we happen to believe that, you know, our soul does live beyond the body, so, you know, universally speaking, but even in daily life, every moment's an ending, a new beginning, and there's always some kind of continuity. And again, I want to say this one little part, stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. We've talked before, if there isn't, you know, a flow and you find your life's a little bit out of order, you know, that can cause its own stressors. But even when things are out of order, things are still flowing. There's still this continuity of life. It's a really profound message for everyone, no matter what you're going through, I think. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a, you know, even today, you know, I was up half the night and went, tried to get some more sleep, you know, but the day is still going on. There's still a continuity of life, even though today was kind of a tired day. You know?
Yeah, that's one aspect of it. And I'd like to draw attention to another aspect of the continuity of life, and that's just in the sense of going from one chapter to another chapter of our lives. And that's what we do. I mean, we call them phases. You know, we go through phases, so to speak. But if you look back on your life, you'll see that there have been different chapters of your life. There have been different eras, so to speak, different parts of your life, significant parts. Changes usually occur. Maybe you've gone through some adversity and come out of it. Maybe you're going into some adversity and need to come out of it. And so that's also another aspect of the continuity of life. And one of those things that can cause us, well, throw us for a loop a little bit, are relationships. I can't tell you how many students over the course of the years have shared with me their own personal stories after they started taking courses at IMHS and learning all these great practical life skills, healthy relationship skills, and so forth. And what happens is they end up evolving. They end up growing and raising their own awareness. They're learning these great, great skills in relationships. And what happens is it's changing their energy signature, which is, you know, who they are. They're becoming more healthy. Well, the problem that can pose at times is it can polarize relationships a little bit because one person's changing and perhaps the other one is not. And it's not just with significant others. It can be with relatives and friends and whoever. I can't tell you how many students have told me that they have cut off relationships with former friends because of what they learned. Basically, those friends were not contributing to the relationship. They were only taking from it and they wouldn't change. And so they ended up having to dissolve those relationships or just move past them. I can't tell you how many students have had to do that. And another aspect of this is when, you know, and we've talked about this on the program before, but when students enroll, they're all excited. They're going to learn some great stuff. They're going to perhaps have a career in spiritual counseling, life coaching, or holistic healing or something like that. They're really excited, and what do you want to do? They want to share the information with those they care about, their friends and family, only to be, you know, knocked down a notch or two when the family said, oh, that's not a real degree, or you're not learning real stuff, that kind of a thing. And, of course, that couldn't be further from the truth.
Oh, lost your sound there, Dr. Kelly.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I'll let you comment if you want, and then I've got a couple more things to say.
Well, the only thing that was coming to mind right there is about energy signatures, you know, and how we do change. Sometimes it's a matter of standing in who we are, getting to know ourselves better, and stepping forward, allowing people around us to have a minute to adjust, because really what we're doing is changing the rules, right? And mm-hmm. So when we change the rules, we have to kind of like inform people, but also give them a moment to adjust, because we're always in that continuity of life, in that changing. The other thing that happens is you know, we find out things about people we didn't know. You know, it just, oh, excuse me.
So.
We're each taking a moment to have a little sneeze.
Yeah. Go ahead, if you're ready. If not, I can pick up here. Something in the air tonight, I'll tell you. Anyway.
Chemtrails. I hate those chemtrails.
Yeah.
Really. Sheesh. You know, I was just saying that when we look around and we find out that we've made a change and other people are being antagonistic, for instance, about those changes, it's because that they don't want to feel alone where they are. But what happens with us is that we see something we didn't know existed. So there's all those adjustments. And then we begin to grieve the past. And this is something I'd really like to get across, that no matter, you know, what kinds of phases and changes and people and so on, there's always that moment where we have to just take a little inventory, go into a quiet place, and allow ourselves to grieve, to just, whoa, you know, I really liked where I was. I thought it was good, but I guess I have to change, you know, and life is going to continue to change. So there's always that excitement for what's coming, and yet the grieving and the adjustment in between.
And so, you know, as we take all this in and you know, take what you want, leave the rest, so to speak. But we have to understand that when we go through these changes in life, these phases of life, these different chapters of life, which is the continuity of life, it goes from one thing to another. And that's good. That's evolution. We need to change. And like you've probably heard 1,000 times before, you know, that metamorphosis is a bit difficult at times. It can involve adversity. And just remember, adversity is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. You put things back in the proper order and the adversity seems to fade away, and it does. And so if you happen to be a student who's getting some resistance from family and friends about what you're studying at IMHS, well, don't take it personally. There's one reason why you're getting interference, and one reason only. It's called ignorance. And I'll tell you, I'll admit, there was a time in my life many, many, many years ago when I saw a diploma. It was a metaphysics degree on a wall of some fellow that honestly didn't have all that great of a reputation. And I looked at that and I thought, makes sense. It's not a real degree. I did that. I said, thought that to myself. I didn't say it to him. But I was ignorant, because that's not true in any way, shape, or form. It is a real degree. These are real classes, are real courses, and it's a real education. And so let's just take a quick inventory here. Okay, let's see. At IMHS, you learn communication skills, basic and advanced, assertive communication skills. These are interpersonal communication skills. You learn that. You learn all about how relevant you are. You learn to build your self-concept. You learn to build your self-esteem. You learn that you're perfect just the way you are. You learn to get better every day. Wow, good stuff, huh? But you also learn about relationships, how to have healthy, positive relationships. You learn all about that, how to treat people right. You learn about respect for free will. You learn about taking personal responsibility. You learn about critical thinking skills. You learn about how to reinvent yourself. You learn about some of the interesting stuff, advanced metaphysical topics. You learn about quantum consciousness, quantum entanglement, quantum physics and how it relates to consciousness and existence. You learn about death and dying, and there's hope. There's compelling evidence that this is not it. We move on. That's another aspect of continuity of life. You also learn about human psychology, 14 traits of human nature, and how to get along with people even better. Okay, so you learn all these cool things, right? And yet, we live in a world where most of it is all messed up. All you have to do is read the news. There are people who don't respect free will, who don't know how to get along with one another, who don't have good communication skills. I was going to say this for later, but I get emails all the time that people don't know how to communicate. And yet that's what we teach. We teach all these positive things. There's nothing unhealthy about any of it. There's nothing cultish about any of it. It's all pristine, premier, top of the line, proven stuff. So, the people that...
I love that.
The people that are resisting you, they're afraid. Yes, they're ignorant too, but they're afraid of things. They might think that they're doing the best thing for you, but what did you learn in the degree program? You learned about the dark side of doing right. That is imposing what you think is right for somebody on them. That's not respect for free will. That's irresponsible. You can't do that. And yet that's what they're doing because they haven't been through the training. So,
you know, metaphysics.
Let me just finish this one thought and then I'll turn it right over to you. So what do you do? This is your path. This is your journey. You're an adult. You have a right to your perspective on things without judgment. Doesn't mean you won't get judged, but you do have a right without judgment. You're an adult. You can do what you want. You need to hold your course for your reasons. Don't evaluate or what's the word I want? Don't put the value on yourself. Don't evaluate yourself on what other people think or whether they agree with you or whether you're doing what they think you should be doing, because that's them esteem. You want self-esteem, internal expectations, internal validation. If you're doing something that they don't agree with, honestly, so what? So what? Who cares? You do your thing because you have a right to that. All right. Take it away, Dr. Hunter.
I'm sorry I interrupted there. Yeah, I know, and I'm sorry I almost interrupted your steam. But, you know, metaphysics has been around for a long time. We're not studying anything that isn't available to everybody in the world if they take a moment to have an interest and want to expand who we are. And some people just don't have the interest. That's the bottom line. So, you know, we have limited relationships with people who don't have the same interests as ourselves. That's why I always say talking cupcake recipes is valuable. You know, we can have those kinds of relationships too. But it's just stand in who you are. It's always about that. Know that things are continually moving forward. You know, Tracy has made a comment in the chat. There's a really good conversation going on in there about feeling other people's negative energy, and especially if you're very sensitive. You know, stress is, you don't have to be an empath or really highly intuitive to feel stress in your environment. You just have to get an attitude. And really, get an attitude and just calm the emotions down. Look at it logically. Look at your environment sensibly. And honestly, just tune out. And it's until you're ready to make a change or you get out of the environment, if that's what you decide, you know, if it happens to be a relationship. But it just is what it is. And you have to be more important to you than anybody else is important to you and carry on. May I change the topic now?
Please do.
Because I would really like to address Zach's question about shamanism. And I think there is a bit of a segue here, and you know, we're all intuitive, shamanism is, Zach, for one thing, I have met many people who follow shamanic practices. I find it wonderful, fascinating, alternative spiritual healings, absolutely fascinating. And I see it all as a catalyst or a conduit for that self-empowering to your own well-being. And we happen to know that you're considering to take a little vision quest, a journey. And I've been on my own. So I always find it fascinating how people take various avenues to tap into the higher consciousness and the universal consciousness to, to empower and to set our energy straight, if you will, or assist us in some issues that we may have, and we all have them. So I say absolutely go for it, and you know, stay grounded, sensible, but really take advantage of the study of it and participate in really positive, good energy. And I think that's the key, is to always be selective in what kinds of energies that you want to be around. But I've seen some really extraordinary things in lodges and in sweats and ceremonies, and I can't even begin to go into them. But I think it's a wonderful way to open our minds and our experiences. So you might have something else to say, Dr. Kelly.
No, I don't have anything on that. So you can draw another card if you'd like.
I am going to do just that. All right. Deliberate intent. Number 20 in the spirituality suit. We have drawn this particular card so many times. It just repeats and repeats, and I think it's one of those messages that we can't get enough of. We always need that kind of reminding of setting our focus and having that, as it says, the simple act of intention that registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness. You know, it's focusing your intent. And so then you become, and in quantum physics, you would become entangled then with those other kinds of frequencies. And, you know, and this card is very clear to say it's not magic. It's not hocus pocus, as some people might like to think it is. It's a lot of effort. You focus on what you want, not what you don't have, and release it, and then be patient. Because sometimes it takes, I always say, sometimes it takes the universe a minute to write the script, you know. So, being very clear in your mind. Now, I want to say also that in adding to deliberate intent and in keeping with our conversation, we might want something really bad, and we might think that our pathway is to go forward, but we got to remember that if we're driving through the city, everybody else is driving their cars too, and the traffic can get pretty congested. So we have to pause, take inventory, look for what our next step would be. The deliberate intent sometimes has to be reduced to very simple things and knowing that we can't control other people. So deliberate intent is about our own well-being and focusing on the things that we want that aren't necessarily materialistic. Or to say, my deliberate intent is to make this relationship work. Well, that it might be well intended, but that's also breaking a few cosmic laws that you're wanting control over another human being. So there has to be this free space also with deliberate intent, you know, and being very clear about yourself and your path forward. So I just wanted to kind of make it in context of our conversation, just to give it that extra bit of twist.
And we can take it a step further, too, in that applying that deliberate intent to your path. You know, your pathway is a product of your deliberate intent, whether it's intended or unintended, if you will. In other words, we're on a path, and we can either choose to control our path or not control our path. We can either go out and happen to life or let life happen to us, so to speak. So deliberate intent, you're on your path. You have a right to walk that path, as I said a few minutes ago. And one last comment that I wanted to interject that I just remembered that was fitting for our discussion on students who are studying at IMHS or even Thomas Francis University. You know, we've had a number of traditional university professors and doctoral graduates come through our program and sing high praises for what they learned, and several of them commented on how they didn't learn this stuff in college, and everybody should be taught this stuff. So, you know, this is not, our degree program is not, and metaphysics is not foo-foo stuff. Oh, it can be just like anything. You know, you can use nuclear energy to kill people or power people, right? Well, metaphysics, the way we teach it, is a higher level of learning is what it is. And it helps people, and it helps them in ways that even the traditional academics appreciate. So just thought I'd throw that in there. You want to pull another one?
Well, actually, I'd like to answer a question that Dr. Norm has posed in the chat. And asking if we think that when we state an intent, we might be missing the little clues.
And speaking of Dr. Norm, right?
Yes.
A university professor.
Yes.
And we appreciate you very much.
Yes, we certainly do. And every week he's here with us now that he's got his little computer glitch fixed, and we're really glad that you're with us tonight. So the question is, do you think that when one states an intent, they miss the little clues that it is being fulfilled? I would like to answer that in one particular way. When we learn about communication, we learn to be exact. You're right. I think that it is being fulfilled based on how we're asking. We assume that the universe knows how we're paraphrasing. We're not being exact with our words. And this is why communications and the whole bachelor's program is set up to teach communication so that we can know this, is that you don't tell the universe, well, I want a lot of money. Well, the universe thinks $5 is a lot of money.
You know? It is to some people.
Exactly. You know, so you got $5. What are you going to do with it? You find a dime on the street. There you go. So what do you want? It's to be exact. And, you know, we've had this kind of conversation before, but I want to say this again. When we're changing our frequencies and we're putting that out there, deliberate intent, and what we want, we have to know exactly what that is. And that's where knowing who you are, being very clear about how you use words, delivers that intent. You can't be vague. You can't paraphrase. You can't assume the universe knows what you want, because every word has its own frequency. Every thought behind the word has a frequency. Every emotion behind a word has a frequency. So it's the more self-aware you are, the clearer you can communicate, and the clearer you are in sending your deliberate intent. The clues are always there. It always answers what we've asked. I believe that. We just have to get clear about what we're asking. So,
good points.
Change over here too. All right. Well, attitude and disposition. It's kind of fitting, I think. It's number 44.
I don't know if we pulled that one any time recently.
Not for a while. I think we were still back in the center when this came up. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. So let me say that again. Enthusiasm or an agreeable disposition assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen. So attitude and disposition, you know, again, what I mentioned a while ago about getting attitude, it's, you know, when we stand in who we are, we don't realize how much that affects other people. If you're always trying to fight an energy that's outside of you, then that will diminish you. When you stand in who you are and you set a good example, then that starts to, you know, resonate and impact others. Now, they may not like it, and that energy may not resonate with them, and there could be a little retaliation. But still, in a very good way, and again, with good manners, just know that, have that can-do attitude. So
that's going to come up in our tips for getting a job, too, in a little while.
Which this might just very well be the perfect segue into that, unless somebody wants a card pulled. I might have just opened a whole door here for a minute.
Well, yeah. If you want a card, please say so in the chat room if you're listening to this live broadcast. And we'll give it just a minute. We've talked about a number of things so far, though. And I'll just mention those. And if you want to re-listen to this, the archive should be available on the website at metaphysicalhumanism.org, probably no later than tomorrow. And so you can listen to it again.
Well, we've had continuity. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead if you want to.
we've had continuity of life, deliberate intent, and attitude and disposition that brought in our conversation here tonight. So.
And in between those, we've talked about chapters of life, dealing with those who don't agree with the path we're taking,
yep.
A little bit on shamanism, deliberate intent, and law of attraction, which is related to good attitude and disposition. Those are some of the points. So we've got Wendy who would like a card.
Okay, Wendy. Self-mastery. That's number 7 in the Life Leadership Paragon. So I'm just going to go to number 7 here. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. So for you, Wendy, I'm going to just go with it and say a little something to resonate with you tonight and in your life at this time. But I think there's perhaps a few people that could relate to that. And it's really in keeping with our whole discussion tonight. I think.
It is. So self-mastery is, that's what we're all striving for, isn't it? Really? I mean, when we learn to be complete within ourselves and not, quote, need, unquote, anyone else to make us complete, then our whole world opens up. Then, you know, we might be alone, but we don't fear being alone. You know, yeah, we're social creatures. I get that. And it's nice to be with people. But I'm talking about that severe loneliness doesn't affect us because we're complete within ourselves. And that means that we know who we are and why we are who we are. And that means that if someone doesn't agree with us or with what we're doing, it just doesn't really matter. What you think of me is none of my business, as the saying goes. And so that whole self-mastery is ultimately what this is all about. It means raising your awareness. Awareness of who you are, raising awareness of your place in the universe, raising your awareness about the plight of others, growing in compassion for others, not being judgmental, all those things. I mean, self-mastery is a huge topic, really. So let's pull one more card. I don't see anybody else who wants one pulled, so let's pull one more, and then we're going to get into our tips for getting a job. And we will see what that card is.
Well, I'm sorry, I had to...
No problem.
I think I've got a little Skype delay here today. Sorry about that. I had an intuitive moment there right before you asked to draw a card, and I did draw a card. And it's number 24, Truth.
Well,
and so as you were... You know, just as you were saying, let's pull one more card. I'm going, wow, this is quite the way to end our discussion here. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is a truth in something or in a direction.
Yep.
Truth. Wow.
And, you know, we need to live our truth, regardless of what other people think or what they say or what they do. Because in the end, when we're on our deathbed, we're looking back. We don't want to have a bad case of what it could have, should have, the if onlys, and the might have beens. We don't want to look back and say, oh, wow, you know, that time that I thought everything was falling apart. I look back on it now. No, it wasn't. It was my own stinking thinking or my own disabling beliefs that led me to think my life was falling apart. But it was a good thing. It was a good change for me. It opened up the way for me to evolve even further. So we don't want to have that bad case of the woulda, coulda, shoulda, if onlys, and the might have beens. So we need to see ourselves in perspective, in context of our own truth, and let people live their own truth too. And if two people can't live their own truth and be together, it just is what it is. It's like, I didn't create this thing. It just is what it is. And so you do what you have to do. And that's just is what it is, folks. It's just the way of life.
We don't say this lightly to people. We do know. And Dr. Kelly and I share a story in our lives where we did have to leave our families and we did have to make some very big, big life decisions that was to follow our truth. And it's not an easy one, and there's huge grieving, and there's, the what ifs and maybes, but the key for me was to follow my truth and what I know to be true. And it's true for me, and I'm going to take this step forward, no matter how there would be some condemnation even, but I'm not going to be persecuted. And, there's just some family members in particular, we just can't coexist. We have such radically different ideas, and particularly in matters of religion, that's where it usually shows up. I wish that we could all have different beliefs and still get along. Because, that would be the ultimate thing. But when you're pointing the finger at somebody and saying what you believe is wrong, you're not behaving right, that's where I draw the line. Because I don't do that to other people. And I don't even tell people, geez, are you stupid? Yeah, you think about that? I'd like to. But, it's being respectful. And so I insist to be treated as I do my best to treat others. So we don't say this lightly. We don't recommend it, just flippantly. We do know that very often we are, we do have losses. But to follow your own truth is, there's never a regret. And that's the key, is to not live your truth is always regret. To live your truth, you never do. So yep. Keep that in mind.
Good points. All right, so let's shift gears now, and let's talk about some tips for getting a job. And there's I was just reading this article on the BBC before the program tonight, and it made some interesting points. It's on BBC.com. It's the article titled "The Real Reason You Can't Get a Job," and it made some interesting points. I'm just going to read a couple of these and then comment on them. One point that it made: in survey after survey, they rate young applicants as deficient in such key workplace skills as written and oral communication, critical thinking, and analytical reasoning. Another part of it says, as the job market gradually improves, businesses say they aren't finding enough savvy graduates who can start contributing from day one on the job. Career Builder, an online job search site, surveyed employers in the UK and India this year and found that they believe recent graduates are most lacking in problem-solving skills, creative thinking, and interpersonal skills. One person wrote that he hears the most from these employers that they especially want the millennial generation, those born in the 80s and 90s, to learn to communicate in a respectful manner that gets the idea across well. Also, general professionalism and work ethic are other areas where millennials are found lacking. So as I take some of these points from these quotes, we're talking about written and oral communication, interpersonal skills similar, critical thinking, professionalism. Those are the things that we teach in the IMHS degree program, really. And that's something that we can only take to a certain point. The student, it's up to the student to really take it the whole way. And I have to tell you, from my own experience in life, I can see where some of these college graduates, these people who ought to know better, I get emails from them. There's no salutation. The emails are not properly written. Sometimes there's no punctuation. Sometimes they're all in lowercase. There's even been a time or two and it's all uppercase letters. Quite often, they don't even put their name on it, so I don't even know who they are. And it's just like, wow, talk about sloppy. It's really sloppy. And it's not professional. And that's what we teach. And then, you know, there's been a time or two when I've gotten emails from students who had a sloppy email, even after they had learned about this. And I have to call them on it. Why? Because I actually care. And I want my graduates to be graduated with skills that they need in the workplace. So a lot of this is incumbent on the person. Okay, we can put out the information, but people actually have to read it and apply it. And so look at what the professionals are doing, how they are creating their emails, how they're writing. You know, use spell check. You know, for the love of all that's holy, use spell check. It will help you. It saves me. Does that mean you'll never make a mistake? No, of course not. I mean, even occasionally I will make a mistake like that. But proof your emails. Read them. And the times that the mistakes slip through by me is when I don't proof. And I really try to proof almost every time. But every now and then I'm in a hurry and I just kick it out. And invariably there's some little misspelled word or something. So take the time to proof. Read it. If it's an important letter or email, set it aside for a bit. And then go back over it. Now, this can really apply to getting a job. Sometimes you have to write a letter of introduction. You should, especially if it's a higher-end job, especially if you're a college grad or whatever. Make sure it's written well. Make sure you sell yourself. Another area that this article mentioned was that of self-esteem, too. You have to go in with the confidence. You may not know everything that you're going to know in 5 years. You don't, okay? But you have your training. You have what you've learned. You need to be confident about that. It doesn't mean you know everything. It doesn't mean you go in acting like you know everything, but you go in with a willing attitude and it will win them over. I've hired a ton of people in my day. I've hired a ton of people. And one of the questions, and I'll give you, here's a little snippet from my course on leadership. I'm hiring people. Whenever I would look at somebody, I'd ask three questions. Can they do the job? Will they do the job? And do they fit my team? And for the life of me, I wish I could remember the name of the man who I learned this from. It was at a seminar decades ago. It was a great seminar. And I apologize. I just can't remember his name. Bad on me. But anyway, it was good, great points. Can they do the job? Will they do the job? And do they fit my team? A lot of people can do the job. But they may not do the job. They won't do the job. Some people may not be able to do the job, and so therefore they can't do it. The most important of these three questions is, do they fit my team? And that is the one you have to answer. So, and another thing that I always ask, and a lot of employers do, especially at the end of the interview, why should I hire you? And I've asked that question every time. Excuse me. And I've gotten some really good answers, and the really good answers got hired. I had one young woman in her early 20s, you know, bless her heart. She did an okay interview. At the end, I asked her that question, why should I hire you? Just one last question. And I'll comment on the other aspect of that in a sec. But she said, when I asked her that question, she kind of said, I can't think of anything. That's what she told me. And in my mind, I said, well, I can't think of anything either. But then I told her, I said, well, I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming. She did not get hired. Now, by all rights, she should have been able to, and I would have loved it, she should have been able to ask me, why should I work for you? Now, a lot of people, I don't want to ask that. But you know what? As a pro, and I'm not going to say that you should ask it every time. You use your own good judgment. I would. Why should I work for you? I would say it nice, of course. But if somebody asked me that question, I'd about fall off my chair because I would explain why they should work for me. It's a two-way street here, and you have to know that. You might need a job. Okay, fair enough. So you go and you do your best, but go to that job with professionalism. Learn how to write, and at the very least, learn how to use spell check, and use it every time, and proof your emails, proof your writing. Learn how to use critical thinking skills. Don't just take things at face value. Think about them. You know, really think, what does it mean? And practice these skills. That's what you do. You practice these things and you become better at them. When you go to the interview, be pleasant. Have that can-do attitude. That will take you further than anything else just about. And don't forget the old adage, and then some. And again, forgive me, I can't remember the name of the person who said that. It's in our inner oracle card deck, by the way. But and then some. Always add a little bit and then some. Have that can-do willing attitude. Look, Mr. Employer, I don't know everything you do right now, but I am willing to learn, and I'm willing to give 100% of myself to learning how to do this job the best that it can be done, the best that I can do it. An agreeable attitude is so, so important. When you go to the interview, present yourself appropriately. Dress nicely for the job, whatever that is. You know, different interviews will have different dress codes, so to speak. But you can't really do wrong by dressing up just a little bit. Even if it's for a construction job, you know, dress just a little bit. A little bit, one level above, so to speak. If you're going on an office job or anything like that, put a suit on. At the very least, a shirt and a tie if you're a guy, and dress up a little bit if you're female. Present yourself and sell, because that's what you're doing. You're selling yourself to them. And if you don't think that's what it is, you need to think again. You are, in fact, selling yourself. So use these tips. Learn how to communicate. Learn how to be a team player. Don on the ownership attitude, not the entitlement attitude. Don't go in there thinking they owe it to you. You go in thinking that, having the mindset that you're part owner of this company. You're out to do all you can to make it succeed. So if you just do some of these things, have some confidence in yourself, understand that you are perfect the way you are, and you deserve this job just as much as anyone else, no more, no less. You go in with those attitudes, and I promise you, you will do much better than otherwise. Dr. Hunter.
And always spell somebody's name right.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, I was thinking, there are two things that I notice that we get a lot of, especially on our live chat or, you know, email inquiries, is first of all, how much is it?
Yeah.
And can I get my degree here? And there's no capitals, no periods, no anything. And then you write back, and then they'll spell your name wrong.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, Michael just made a joke, you know, spelling my name with a Y instead of I. I mean, I always find it kind of interesting when people do that, because they're not being observant and they're not putting their best foot forward. And, you know, when you say, and then some, put your best foot forward. Even if you're making an inquiry and you don't, it's not a job you want, a capital at the beginning of a sentence is good. A period at the end is good. And say hello. That would be nice. And thanks would be great. You know, because then that leaves an impression. The other impressions aren't necessarily palatable, but we get that a lot. You know, yeah. We just let it roll off us now. I mean, because it's really too bad when mediocre suddenly becomes the norm. And that's why we all need to bump this up. You know, as your article was saying, is that it's like a little critical thinking and some good manners and professionalism goes a very long way.
Yeah, and folks, don't forget, the sweetest word in any language is a person's name. You know, so use that when you're emailing and spell their name correctly. Look twice. You know, I mean, my last name gets misspelled so many times, I just quit correcting people. You know, it's K-E-L-L-E-Y, not K-E-L-L-Y, but so what, you know? And that's another lesson, you know, not to take yourself too seriously either, so.
You know, I would just like to throw in here that at the very beginning, I've been here now over 4 years, and it's, I felt uneasy with the Dr. Hunter thing. And so I was always Dr. Vicky, and I was comfortable with that. What happened, though, is that people would try to be my friend. And I had a really big lesson to learn that while a student is in school, we establish a relationship. And number one, you expect me to have information for you, so we're not necessarily on that same wave. You come to me for help. You want that extra help. So there is this. So the same would be for an employer, and this is why I'm bringing this up, is that there is that respect that happens. Once you're a graduate, we're on the Vicky first name basis, and I'm happy about that. But during the program, to see if there's this, and I always say, know your place in things. You've come to a school, you want to learn, you're asking people to help you learn. That's what we're here for. So we establish that energy, so to speak. If we're all friends, here's what'll happen. They'll get tension. Because I think it's already enough challenge for people to be learning and feeling a little embarrassed. Well, geez, I messed up or I didn't do as well. And I'm your cheerleader. Dr. Kelly's your cheerleader. We're here for you. And so it's that's just a little point that I wanted to bring up. If you're going to your employer, you know, don't say, hey, Dick, how are you? You know, it's say, hello, Mr. So-and-so. You know, and then yeah. If he says, no, call me Dick, that's fine. But it's always know your place. You know, I work with Dr. Kelly. We're a team, Michael, Tracy Kelly. It's a good team. But I don't run this school. Dr. Kelly has all the burden of responsibility. I have to know my place. And I am happy to have that place. But I also know that what I bring to the table. So we establish these wonderful, I believe, you know, it's a wonderful relationship of teamwork. But we each have to know our place. So when you're out there in the world, just keep a few of those things in mind, and you will be assured successes. You will.
Great points. Thanks, Dr. Hunter. Want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Appreciate your time. Those who are joining the live broadcast as well as the archive listeners. Thanks to Michael Kelly as well for producing the show. Next week we'll be back with another program. Should call it a program, not a show. It's what it is. It's a program. And some good, more good stuff. So tell people that you know about it if you like it. Let people know about IMHS and Thomas Francis University if they want to also improve their education and their level of awareness like you are. Anyway, folks, again, thanks so much. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.